Deuteronomy chapter 8. You must carefully follow every command I'm giving you today, so that you may live and increase, and may enter and take possession of the land the Lord swore to your fathers. Remember that the Lord your God led you on the entire journey these 40 years in the wilderness, so that he might humble you and test you to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you by letting you go hungry. Then he gave you manna to eat, which you and your fathers had not known, so that you might learn that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out, and your feet did not swell these 40 years. Keep in mind that the Lord your God has been disciplining you just as a man disciplines his son. So keep the commands of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams of water, springs and deep water sources flowing in both valleys and hills, a land of wheat, barley, vines, figs and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land where you will eat food without shortage, where you will lack nothing, a land whose rocks are iron and from whose hills you will mine copper. When you eat and are full, you will praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you don't forget the Lord your God by failing to keep his command, the ordinances and statutes I'm giving you today. When you eat and are full and build beautiful houses to live in, and your herds and your flocks grow large, and your silver and gold multiply, and everything else you have increases, be careful that your heart doesn't become proud, and that you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the place of slavery. He led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its poisonous snakes and scorpions, a thirsty land where there was no water. He brought water out of the flint-like rock for you. He fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers had not known, in order to humble and test you, so that in the end he might cause you to prosper. You may say to yourself, my power and my own ability have gained this wealth for me. But remember that the Lord your God gives you the power to gain wealth in order to confirm his covenant he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. The word that I want to bring to you this morning is really based on verse 2, where it says, remember, in my version, remember all the way that the Lord your God led you these 40 years. I would think that for most of us individually, we are in a slightly different place in our walk with the Lord. Certainly as a body, the Lord wants us to be led together, those of you who are part of Bethel Christian Assembly and come regularly to our meetings and so on. But individually, we may be in a different place. But wherever we are, the Lord has a number of things that he wants to say to us. And I was struck by this word, remember. It comes, I don't know how many times, in the book of Deuteronomy. Remember, remember, remember. Remember the way that the Lord has led you. Remember the Lord. Remember the lessons, etc. And very often, we're looking to the Lord, aren't we, to take us on and to do something new among us. And that's right in a way that we do that. We want to be those that go on with the Lord. I hope you don't want to be somebody who's always wanting to mark time in your relationship with the Lord. But here it seems to me, and I think for today, I want us to look back, really, using something of the testimony of the children of Israel as an aid, as an example. I want us to look back and just to remember. Why does the Lord want us to look back at times? Why does the Lord want us to recall? Well, it's so that we can learn the lessons or be reminded of the lessons that the Lord has for us in the way that he has led us. please note, if you don't know the scriptures, and if you do, I hope you do take note of them, that the book of Numbers and the book of Deuteronomy in particular record in detail the way that the Lord led his people through the wilderness. In fact, there is a record in Numbers chapter 33 of every place that the children of Israel visited. We don't always know what happened at those places, but it's as if the Lord's saying, now I want you to look back and remember how and when the Lord led you. And in a number of the Psalms, Psalm 78, for example, which we may look at a little bit later on, David is reminding us of the way that the Lord provided for his people, the way that the Lord led his people, especially through the wilderness. So I'm going to just bring you a reminder of a few things and trust the Lord to take something of the reminder where we need to be reminded and just wing it home to our own hearts. It may not be that it's all for you, but whatever is of the Lord, please take to your own heart. So Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 2 says, first of all, remember the Lord. And that's the first thing, or the first person rather, that we need to remember. We need to remember the Lord. We need to remember that it is the Lord who has led us. We need to remember the words in 1 Corinthians 10, which say to us that the children of Israel, in a sense, were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the Red Sea. They were united with Moses in the Lord who was leading them. And friends, we need to look back and remember that our walk with the Lord has essentially been just that. It has been a walk with the Lord. We need to remember this is not just the church we've attended. This is not just the lessons that the Lord has given to us. It's not just remembering what Christianity is about. It's not just remembering standards to live by. It's remembering that it is our relationship with the Lord that is the critical thing. We need to remember that if we're Christians, we are in him. We are united with him, and that it is he who is leading us. Trust that you can look back and think, Lord, you have always been with me. There are times when we don't feel that the Lord is with us, but the Lord has been there. He has watched over us. So we need to remember that it's our relationship to the Lord that is the important thing. And then let's remember some of the detail. How did the Lord specifically lead his people? I've mentioned already that pillar of fire, that pillar of cloud. If you go back to Exodus chapter 13, do keep your finger in Deuteronomy 8, but if you go back to Exodus chapter 13 and verses 21 and 22, the very end of the chapter, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to lead them on the way. Friends, I trust that you can look back and just remember that it is the Lord who has led you every step of the way. Certainly that it's the Lord who wants to lead us. And in a pillar of fire to give them light at night. Friends, no matter what the time of day or night, the Lord has been leading. There are times when it's spiritually nighttime. We can't see the way ahead. There are times when the Lord led his people at night, and the only thing they had to look for to lead them was that pillar of fire. And God is able to lead us, even though naturally we don't know the way ahead. Excuse me. And the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night never left its place in front of the people. Our friends, God is not sort of catching up with us. He hasn't lost control. He's in front of you. He's leading, he's going to prepare the way ahead of you. Such is our God. And remember too, just when the Lord did lead them in that pillar of cloud and fire. In Numbers chapter 9 and verses 21 to 23, don't turn to it, but you can find very clearly that the children of Israel did not know the way to go in the wilderness, and they did not know the time that they had to move on. And so you can imagine the situation. They set up camp, they pitched their tents, as some of us did a few weeks ago in the New Forest, with varying degrees of success. They pitched their tents, they settled down, and they could well have thought, oh, we're the place we've come to has been a bit difficult. I'm jolly well going to put my feet up and hopefully rest of it. And they've just put the kettle on for a cup of tea, and the pillar of cloud and fire starts to move again. And so suddenly they have to up sticks and go, and pack up again and move forward. Or perhaps on another occasion, the place that they're at isn't particularly nice, and they can't wait to move forward. But the cloud and the fire, that pillar just stays there. It says in Numbers 5, in Numbers 9, maybe for a month, maybe for a week, maybe even for a year. Friends, we don't know when and how the Lord is taking us forward. But the important thing is that we're ready to move forward when he gives us that command, when we sense that he's taking us forward. That we don't so settle down that we're not willing to move as the Lord leads us. So the Lord, that was how the Lord led them. But think of this marvellous description. I said Psalm 78. Just look at a few verses in that psalm, please. Psalm 78, verses 52. Onwards, 52 to 53. Psalm 78. He led his people out like sheep and guided them like a flock. Friends, through the wilderness, the Lord was the shepherd of his people. Remember the Lord and remember that he led them like a shepherd. How does a shepherd lead his flock? Well, you know these, but let me remind you. Remember these things. Think of his provision. Deuteronomy 8 speaks about that, how he fed them with manna in the wilderness. They were absolutely dependent on the provision from heaven for their food. If that manna failed, they would starve to death. And yet God provided for them every single day. My friends, remember, the Lord can provide for you. Not only naturally, he can provide for you spiritually. Of course, the manna speaks of the provision from God through his word. As we feed on his word, he enables us to feed on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is your bread. The Lord is your food. His provision. There's another psalm. It says he provided a table for them in the wilderness. And you may be in the most barren and difficult circumstances. Remember that the Lord can furnish a table for you even in the wilderness. Have you forgotten that, some of you? Remind yourself. Remember. And then Deuteronomy goes on to say how marvellous this is. His care of his people like a shepherd. He says, your clothes didn't wear out. I mean, this is the most incredible thing. I mean, 40 years they were in that wilderness. They had opportunity to prove the Lord's faithfulness, the Lord's provision for them. Their clothes, the t-shirt, the shorts, whatever it was, nothing wore out. And my friends, God says in his word that he has clothed us with a robe of righteousness. That garment, those garments of salvation, they will not wear out. They are always fresh. You do not need to be looking to the Lord to provide you with something else, sort of 20 years down the line. Have you come to a stage in your life where you're thinking, well, maybe I used to be a Christian once, or maybe I used to believe these things now, but I've moved on. It's somehow passé. These things are past. These things are irrelevant. Friends, they are not irrelevant. The way that God led you all those years ago, his provision for you then, is his provision for you now. God has not changed. And he can provide you with everything to cover you. And then he provides you with shoes. Your raiment didn't wear out. And there's another verse that says the same sort of thing. Neither did your foot swell these 40. That means you're going to be able to walk. You can go through the wilderness. You can go through those testing times. God will strengthen your spiritual ankles, as it were. God can provide you with the footwear. What is the footwear? Well, let me just mention one application of that. It's the gospel. God has designed us to go through this life in the gospel, clothed with that garment of righteousness, that is to say, equipped with the knowledge that God has made us right with himself, that we have a relationship with God. And he has equipped us with those shoes to go through life. That means to say that we know that our sins are forgiven. That is what the gospel is. It's a gospel of peace. It's a gospel, it's a good news that means that our relationship with God is one of peace. That you can say you know the Lord. If you can say you know the Lord, it means you can go through whatever wilderness with those clothes not wearing out and with those shoes on and able to take you through the wilderness. No matter what the terrain, no matter what the roughness, no matter what the weather. Remember. Remember the Lord's guiding like a shepherd like that. Remember that the Lord protects you. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 10. He found him, that's the Lord found Israel, in a desert land, in a barren, howling wilderness. He surrounded him. Your version may have, he encompassed him about. Friends, the Lord has been watching over you all these years, and he has encompassed you about. He has cared for him, it says, and guarded him as the apple of his eye. He watches over his nest like an eagle and hovers over his young. Friends, that is how the Lord watches over us as his people. And then Psalm 23, you know it. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me, I shall not want. He leads me beside those still waters. He brings me to that good pasture. That's the way that the Lord leads. The Lord is our shepherd as a body of his people. The Lord was the shepherd of Israel in the wilderness. They didn't lack anything. And the Lord made sure that every place they came to, it was with the intention of bringing them to a place of pasture, a place of provision. Do you believe that the Lord can provide for you? Well, remember, look back. This is what the scriptures are written for, so that we can learn, so that we can recall these things to mind. Just digressing a little bit. You know, there was a time in Jeremiah's ministry when Jerusalem had been taken. In a way, the rug had been pulled completely from his feet and his whole world had fallen apart. Judah had been taken into exile. And for 2.5 chapters, he mourns the loss of Jerusalem. And then in chapter 3, halfway through, he says, "This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that I'm not consumed. His compassions never fail me." Do you see, Jeremiah was doing what we're doing now. He was recalling to mind, even despite the devastation in the immediate, he was recalling to mind the mercies and the loving kindness of God. Recall to mind the discipline of the Lord, the rod and the staff. The wilderness was a time for discipline. Deuteronomy again, chapter 8, verse 5. You shall also consider in your heart. Moved. Where's it gone? Here we go. You shall consider in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord chastens you. Friends, we know that those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. The wilderness was a time of disciplining, a time of chastening. The Lord may need to use the rod and the staff from time to time. Deuteronomy chapter 8 again. You shall remember all the way that the Lord led you. Just think about that way. You know, I've struck the number of times you find a statement like this. You find it in Psalm 23, for example. He leads me in paths of righteousness. As you look back on your life, on the way that the Lord has led you, particularly. You see, maybe some of you haven't been following the Lord all your life. But if you look at the Lord's path for you, it is a right path. It is a path of righteousness. It may not always be the path that you like. It may not always be an easy way, but it's the right way for you. And the Lord loves you so much that he wants to lead you in those paths of righteousness. Genesis chapter 24 speaks about a servant who looked back at the way that the Lord led him, and he said, "The Lord has led me in the right way." Psalm 107, verse 7, God led his people in the right way. And those are just to give you three examples. So friends, the Lord's path for you is right. Remember the way that the Lord has led you. And remember too that as part of that leading, the Lord raises up those to pastor you, to care for you and to lead you. The Lord was leading his people by that pillar of fire. But he also, from time to time, he used some of the Levites. They had silver trumpets, so that in case you were in your tent fast asleep in the middle of the night, and you therefore were not aware that the pillar of fire was moving on, you'd soon wake up because a trumpet blast would sound. And the Levites who were responsible for the trumpets would blow, and it would be a call to the camp, it's time for us to move on. Or it would be a call to the camp, we need to fight a battle. Or whatever it is. There were various situations when those particular trumpets were blown. So the Lord used people in order to get the people moving together. And Psalm 77, it says, "You led your people like a flock." So the Lord was their shepherd. That's the important thing. "But you led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron." And friends, it is one of the most disgraceful and disheartening misunderstandings that has plagued the Church of God throughout history. Where the people regard those who lead them as somehow they are the shepherd. As if you can only come to God through the person who's leading at the front. Particularly when he has a dog collar on, because that means he's qualified. Friends, that's nonsense. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd." The Lord can be your shepherd. Of course, it's just as much a misunderstanding to think that the Lord is your shepherd and that I don't need anybody else to help me. That's equally wrong. Friends, get your eyes on the Lord. The Lord is your shepherd. He is the one who provides for you. He is the one who leads you. He is the one who does all these things. But he sometimes does it by the hand of those he raises up to lead his flock. And you better make sure that you are being led by somebody that the Lord has equipped to lead. If not, you better find somebody who has. The Lord uses under shepherds. Peter the Apostle talks about the chief shepherd, but he also talks about those who are shepherds and overseers as well. So remember the Lord's ability to guide like a flock. I don't know whether you were still in Deuteronomy. I beg your pardon, I think I meant Psalm 78. Verse 52. He led his people out like a sheep and guided them like a flock in the wilderness. He led them safely. Friends, this is what the Lord is able to do. He's able to protect you, to lead you safely. And they were not afraid. Are you afraid of anything? Remember that if the Lord is with you, you do not need to fear. But the sea covered their enemies. He brought them to his holy land, and so on. So remember the Lord. Remember the way. Remember the one who's leading you. In Exodus 13, we find that it says, verses 17 and 18, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them along the road to the land of the Philistines, even though it was nearby. Now friends, I think some of you need to remember this. You see, we want the way that the Lord leads us to be the quickest route, the easiest route. But with the Lord, there are no shortcuts. And I don't know about you. I think the Lord was very brave. He brought his people out of Egypt and he led them through the wilderness. How can I say, with the greatest respect, that doesn't make sense, does it? You'd think you'd want to get to the promised land as quickly as possible by the easiest route. But the Lord says no. Even though it was nearby, he wasn't going to lead them by that quickest route. For God said the people will change their minds and return to Egypt if they face war. So friends, what I'm saying is, remember that the Lord knows the best route for you. The Lord knows the way that he's leading you. And you may want to get from A to B particularly quickly. Just allow the Lord to choose the time and allow the Lord to choose the route. And then it goes on to say, so he led the people around toward the Red Sea. So it seemed as though that the Lord was leading his people by a circuitous route. But the Lord had a purpose in doing that, because he wanted to deal with the Egyptians once and for all. Along the road of the wilderness, and the Israelites left the land of Egypt in battle formation. Remember that the Lord leads you in right paths, not the quickest and not the easiest. He leads us through a wilderness. And this is where I want to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Please, if you'd return there. Because it says, you shall remember all the way that the Lord your God led you these 40 years in the wilderness. Now, why did the Lord take them through the wilderness? He led them through the wilderness in order to teach them certain things. Before we consider those, just let's remind ourselves what that wilderness was really like. Verse 15 of chapter 8. Who led you through that great and awesome wilderness? There were fiery serpents there. Scorpions and drought. There was no water there. Friends, that's naturally what the wilderness was like. And sometimes when we go through a particular wilderness experience, we may call it that, it's as if there are enemies there, those fiery serpents. There's drought, there's difficulty, we've got to sort of pick our way through very, very carefully. And there's no water. Jeremiah chapter 2 tells us something else about the wilderness. Don't turn to it, but I'll just read it to you. Jeremiah chapter 2. They stopped asking, where is the Lord who brought us up from the land of Egypt, who led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and ravines, through a land of drought and darkness a land no one travelled through. It was humanly impossible to go through the wilderness and survive, let alone take the thousands that comprise the whole nation. And yet, dear friends, God can take us through. Not only individually, he can take us through together as a body of his people. He is preparing a bride for his son who will enter that inheritance. So the question is, why does the Lord do all that? Well, there are a number of reasons. Some of them are mentioned in Deuteronomy chapter 8. But while I was in Jeremiah 2, let me just read you a verse that comes from before that. It says, whilst the children of Israel were with the Lord in the wilderness, the Lord says, I remember the loyalty of your youth, your love as a bride, how you followed me in the wilderness. My version, the authorized version, says to go after the Lord. Friends, one of the reasons the Lord took his people through such difficulties is it was in those difficulties that they pursued the Lord with all their heart. They were loyal to him. They loved him. The Lord is wanting your heart. Now please remember then, as you perhaps look back and you think, well, why did the Lord lead me in such a difficult way? Why did the Lord allow this to happen or the other to happen? It was because the Lord was wanting you to turn to him. The Lord was wanting your heart's affection. The Lord was wanting you to depend on him and you to cling to him and to him alone. The Lord gives another reason in Deuteronomy 8. You shall remember all the way that the Lord your God led you these 40 years in the wilderness. It was to humble you. To humble you. So that the children of Israel might learn that their provision was not, that they couldn't depend on their own provision naturally. It had to be from God. The manna came from God. They came to numerous places where they were desperate for water, and they sadly didn't always respond correctly. And they started to moan and to complain. And isn't that very often what we do when we think that God has brought us to a difficult place and we want something, or we know we need something, and we start to complain? And we say, actually, Lord, it would have been better for me if I'd stayed in Egypt. It would have been better if I hadn't have even become a Christian in the first place. Why is the Lord humbling us like that? It's to get us to learn to depend on him. And so when the people of Israel cried out to the Lord, well, they complained to Moses, actually. And Moses cried to the Lord. Friends, why don't you cry to the Lord yourself? Don't always moan to others about it, particularly the pastor or the elders. And Moses cried to the Lord and said, and the Lord said, I'll provide for you. And he had various ways, and he was wanting to teach them various lessons. We can't go into those things now. But friends, the scriptures tell us in the book of Numbers that 10 times the Lord had to put up with their testing. Again and again, the children of Israel did not trust the Lord for his provision. And the Lord provided for them. Friends, look back. Remember how, despite all our weakness and all our unbelief, the Lord has provided. The Lord has led us. Well, just give me a moment, please. What notes I had have just disappeared. Well, never mind. We'll have to look at Deuteronomy 8. Let's move on. To humble you and to test you. There's another reason that the Lord has, that the Lord led them in that particular way. It was to test them. That to know what was in your heart, it says. Deuteronomy 8, verse 2. Now, friends, doesn't the Lord know what's in our hearts? Yes, he knows what's in our hearts. But the trouble is, you and I don't always know what's in our hearts. And so the Lord tests us in order to expose what is there. And how many times do we think that actually we're doing really well, aren't we? life's going great and the Lord is blessing and the Lord brings a situation and we suddenly find actually we're not trusting him as much as perhaps we thought we were. So it's in order that we might know what is in our hearts. And the Lord is testing us in order, it says, to know whether you would keep his commandments or not. And friend, that happened very simply with the giving of the manna. The Lord gave very specific instructions. Your provision, you need to go out every morning and collect it. It won't arrive at the door of your tent. You need to go out and fetch it. And you're going to do it 6 days a week. It won't be there on the seventh day. And what do we find? That the people thought they knew better, and some of them went out on the seventh day, and the manna wasn't there. Not only that, but sometimes the people thought, this manna is so great on Monday morning. This manna's delicious. I think we'll just leave a little bit over for tomorrow. And so they kept a little bit over for the next day. And you can imagine the scene. The children get out of their tent, out of the sleeping bag, and they get the breakfast ready, and they get the manna from yesterday. And what's happened overnight? Worms have got into it. And it stinks. That's what the scripture says. And then perhaps they thought, oh, why didn't we remember? The Lord gave us very specific instructions. We need to collect the manna every day. Don't rely on yesterday's blessing for today. Go and get the manna for today. Friends, the Lord has provided manna for you in his word. Are you going to get it every day? To see whether you would keep his commandments or no. And he humbled you and suffered you to hunger, etc. Well, remember the Lord's purpose next. What is the Lord's purpose in all this wilderness wandering? Various things. Verse 1, it's in order that we may observe the commandments of the Lord. I'm bringing this word to you, I'm reminding you of what the scripture says today, because the Lord wants us to remember so that we can learn to obey the Lord, so that we can learn to follow him and to put him first. Not only that, the Lord wants us to remember because he has taken us into a good land. He has got good purposes. Friends, God hasn't abandoned you over the last few years, months, weeks, whatever it is. The Lord is taking you into an inheritance. The Lord is preparing you for something. The Lord is wanting to teach you these lessons so that when you come into all the blessing that the Lord has for you, or as you do that, that you can prove the Lord in all those things. So that you can look back and say, the Lord taught us how to fight. The Lord taught us how to do this and that and the other. And then when you come to a new situation, you can remember, this is how the Lord led me in the past. This is how I'm going to go forward in the future. Isn't this what David learned? He had to face Goliath. What does he do? He remembers and reminds Saul in the process. This is how I used to deal with lions and bears. Goliath will just be like one of those. Remember. And then let's finally remember the places that the Lord has led us. I said to you at the beginning that there is a record of all these various places that the Lord has led them through. We're just going to look at a few of them mentioned in Deuteronomy chapter 10, because it's fairly near Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 10. It says in verse 6, and the children of Israel took their journey from, here's the first place that's mentioned, Beeroth. This is just an example. I'm just giving you part of the journey of the children of Israel as we come to a conclusion this morning. And then friends, I want you to look back at your life. I want to ask you where you have been. I want to ask you where you've come to now. And be looking to the Lord to take you on to the next bit, but just perhaps to look at some of these lessons here. The journey from Beeroth, that means wells. You know, through the journey that the Lord has for you, the Lord is able to open up a well for you. The Bible talks about wells of salvation in Isaiah chapter 12. Wherever the Lord takes you, there is a well from which you can draw living water. Make sure you draw from it. And the reason the children of Israel came to this particular place with this particular name is because the Lord was saying to them, I want you to learn to draw from this water. Their journey from Beerot of the children of Jachin to the next place, Mosera. Mosera means chastisement. Why did the Lord bring them there? Or is there anything significant that happened there? It certainly did. There, Aaron died. Why did Aaron die there rather than go into the promised land? Because he didn't believe the Lord. And given his particular responsibility, God had to discipline him in a particular way. Friends, let's remember that not all the children of Israel went into the promised land. That first generation died in the wilderness. And it's possible for us as believers to come to a certain point and not to inherit, not to go into all that the Lord has for us. And if you like, we die in a bit of spiritual wilderness. We die without the Lord's purposes for us being completely fulfilled. How tragic. That's why it's important that we remember, so that we don't commit the same unbelief, don't give into the same rebellion that our forefathers did. Mosera was chastisement for Aaron and a reminder for the children of Israel about how God deals with his people. And Eleazar, his son, ministered in the priest's office in his stead. That place of chastisement was a place of opportunity for somebody who by rights wasn't expecting to fill his father's shoes. Why? Because his two elder brothers had died. Because they provoked the Lord to anger. And Eleazar suddenly finds himself in this position of having to be in that Aaronic line. And friends, a place of discipline and chastisement is very often a place of real opportunity if we submit to the discipline. From there, they journeyed to Gudgoda, or Gudgoda. What does that mean? It means a place of cutting or a place of incision. Not a fairly nice place to be, really. None of us like to go under the surgeon's knife. Putting it in New Testament terms, none of us like to be under the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, that sword dividing between flesh and spirit. But it's very necessary. Allow the Lord, by his Spirit, through the Word, to cut and to make that difference between flesh and spirit where it's necessary. And from Gudgoda, you see, it's marvellous, really. The Lord doesn't want us to remain in these slightly difficult places for too long. And look where they got to eventually. Gudgoda led them to Jotbath, a land of rivers of waters. And Jotbath itself means excellent for water. And the water speaks of the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And there is a river, Psalm 46 speaks about, there is a river which makes glad the city of God. Well, that's something of their journey. At that time, the Lord separated the tribe of Levi, etc. So I don't know where you are on your journey, but wherever you are, remember. Recall to mind so that we can learn the lessons of the past. Shall we pray, please?